It's good to be here with you again this morning. I appreciate being given the opportunity and the honor just to come and share with you some of the things that are going on with us at Youth for Christ. I've been the director at Youth for Christ here in Victoria for the last 3.5 years, and it's been just an absolutely incredible time. Some of you were here last summer when I had a chance to come and speak and share some stories, and it just goes on and on. I actually have started, I'm pretty disorganized in a lot of ways. So what we've done is we've talked about and tried to get together a book, and I've started writing just in my own, kind of my own notes, some of the stories that God is doing every week through our ministries and through the things that happen. See, we start our staff meetings every week. We start our staff meetings with a quick, what's your best story? And then we usually argue because people try and slip in two or three, and we can't have two or three because we don't have that much time. But they always try and get in two or three, and the moment that one guy takes two, the next guy just says, I'm going to take two, you took two. We have a little argument, and everybody yells, and then eventually we let everybody say whatever they want. But it's exciting, because God's doing some incredible things. So I thank you for having me join you here again this morning. I'm thrilled to be here. Just so you know, just as way of, I'm not just a single guy running around all the time, although it may seem like that sometimes. I do have two kids. My son, Jalen, is in grade 12. He's graduating this year. I know you can't believe that because you're like, wow, that guy's like 22. What's the deal? But yes, my son's graduating, and my daughter is Jasmine. She is 14 years old. She'll be 15 here shortly. And she is a unique individual as well. I talked a little bit about our story with her last year, and she's, as we speak, probably wearing like this headband that's got flowers in it and antlers sticking out. It's weird, but I love her, and she loves being different, and I love my family. I have one wife, my wife Shelley, and that's where two kids, one wife, and about 14 animals in our house. We just seem to keep collecting them. I don't know where they come. I came home in the summer. We had a toad. I don't know where it came from. It was in my son's aquarium, which he used to like get fish from the lake and put in there. It's kind of just a weird house. You never know what you're going to get when you show up. But if you come by, we'll try and give you something nice to eat, and just try and avoid all the other animals, including my children. If I wanted to tell all the stories that have been taking place, it would probably take all four services here this morning. So I'll try and avoid that. But it's just an exciting thing to be a part of for us. The beauty of it is just watching God do stuff while we're not paying attention. I'd like to explain. I'll talk through some of just the some of the ministries that we're doing. So I don't know if you guys. Oh, beauty! Look at that, eh? You're on the ball. So good. I'm not used to this totally fancy stuff, eh? First of all, I'll go through some of our ministries. You've probably heard of the mobile outreach, our Blue Bus ministry. If you want to throw the Blue Bus up on there, that'd be great. A couple of years ago, Rick Wismer, the director of this, was able to purchase this bus and retrofit it. It's got the back half of it. All the seats have been taken out. There's a big screen TV back in there. There's sound systems. There's all kinds of, there's tables and chairs that the kids get to sit down. It's like a mobile drop-in center. Underneath, they have all those bays where you normally put luggage on these things. We got them full of sports equipment and hockey nets and soccer balls and soccer stuff and all kinds of different things in there anyways to play with the kids. And every week we go into different reserves. Maybe we're on four different ones at the moment where we go in and we do about an hour program, hour and a half program with them. We give them some snacks. We teach them some lessons on character stuff. We do a little God talk in the middle of that. We have an opportunity to play sports with them afterwards or games or whatever it happens to be that we're doing with that particular First Nations community. And it's just an amazing, amazing time. And we're seeing more and more doors open and more kids show up. In fact, Doug Drinkwater from this church helps out. He volunteers with us. He was telling me that last week they were out in Beecher Bay on the First Nations community out there, and they had basically twice as many kids as they're used to start to show up because they changed the time, and all of a sudden all the kids that used to come to the bus program every week out there had started coming back. They had 17 kids. Doug told me, he's like, we need some help. We need some younger people to come and help us out because these kids want to play tag, and they always make me it because they know I'm the slowest. But it's awesome. You can see that we're out in Beecher Bay. We're in Esquimalt, that First Nation community there. Sycam and Sayout, pardon me. We're up there as well. And just starting this month, we are in the Cowichan tribes up in Duncan. And that's been an absolutely amazing journey. We weren't planning on going there, but we kind of got an invitation from some people to come and start working on this. And then as we started to kind of look into it, the doors just started to fly open. So you can imagine now with doing 5 different programs all over the place, we need some extra staff. So we were able to hire another guy that I happen to know from my past. He came up and he's joined us now. He's working one day a week with us. They're going up and they have decided, the band has decided where they want to park the bus. And they want to park the bus on a road called Mullock Road. Mullock Road isn't very long, but if you drive up onto that First Nations community up there, right in behind the Super 8, Mullock Road is just in behind there, and I was told by a friend of mine who lives up there, he said, it's literally the worst road on the reserve. I said, yeah, this is where we're parking the bus. He goes, really? I said, yeah, I drove around there, and it really is. It's just disastrous in a lot of ways. And he said, wow, he said, you don't want to walk around there at night. It's one of the most dangerous places on the whole reserve. He said, even the First Nations guys don't want to walk around there at night because that's how dangerous it is. We're parking our bus there, and we're going to tell kids about Jesus. How good is that, eh? It's an exciting time for us. I can't wait to see what takes place with this ministry up there because they've just opened up the doors, and they said, come on, do sports, do games, do snacks, do the character lessons, teach us our own language because that's part of it as well. We're teaching the kids their own language, and at the same time, we also have a spot in there for God, and they're excited to have us come up and do it. Having more of what's taking place amongst the boys. The boys are going back and talking to their families, and the families are starting to meet us and meet our staff at different places in the community, and they're saying, if you do something after school, we'll send our kids there. Our kids want to go anyways. So coming up this next week, we're having kind of our first little Futbolito soccer event. We're going to have 2 of them out at the Colwood Pentecostal Church in their gymnasium. We're going to bring the kids out, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to talk to them about Jesus. It's going to be a wonderful time. And the parents are all saying, yeah, we want them to go. We want them to go. It's miraculous how this stuff's taking place. Out in Souk, we are actually in Journey Middle School. And in Journey Middle School, the next slide, it'll tell you that we're doing a Heroes program out there, as well as some mentorship and some coaching and some tutoring. The Heroes program, we're actually teaching during class time. They've given us an hour every week to teach the students biblical values. Now, we don't go in and tell them this is what it is, but this is what it really is. It's about character. It's about making decisions from positions of strength, about recognizing that you were born on purpose and for a reason, and that you have purpose here in this life. And it's building up their self-esteem, but at the same time, we're bringing truths of the Word of God in there. We've got lots of little things that are little scriptures that without the scripture references, because the schools will have a little bit of a heart attack about that. But we have all this truth that's coming to these kids, and they're feeling that it's making such a difference amongst their grade sixes that they, although we taught it last year and we didn't have as much time in the fall, they've said, we'll give you a full hour to do this program every week during class time because it's that valuable. And so Youth for Christ is teaching classes in the schools. We're actually starting to do that again right after the spring break in the back in Spencer Middle School as well. At the same time, we've been able to create some relationships with some of the high schools in the area, and we're bringing in a group called Legacy One, which is a hip-hop dance group. They do spoken word poetry and slam poetry and all that stuff, and they're a Christian group. They're an evangelistic outreach group, but they do motivational stuff in the schools, and they're coming in. We've got 4 schools booked right now, and we're thrilled about that because they're going to be doing presentations for over 3,000 students in our area to talk about learning what, like, being able to stand up and hear your own voice amongst all the other voices that are trying to tell you who you are and what you should be doing. It's a tremendous program. At the end of that week, we're doing an outreach that's going to be a citywide youth outreach. We're going to involve as many youth groups as we can. We're going to be down at the Central Baptist Church. It's May 19th. They're bringing in Tim Barnett from Ravi Zacharias Ministries. We're going to do a kind of a double thing there. But God has given us so much favor in the schools that it's hard for people to say no when we're saying, hey, should we do this? And they're just like, yeah, we'd love you to do it. We'd love you to do it. It's absolutely stunning. God has opened up all kinds of doors there. I'm going to have to go quickly on this. Next one, Global Impact, which is a partnership with the Compassionate Resource Warehouse, where we go in and fill containers full of goods and ship them overseas to countries where people are in trouble, or it's a kind of the second wave of relief in some cases. And we get to oversee all of the youth teams that go in. So we have volunteer youth teams coming from 4 different middle schools. We have numbers of youth groups that come in and one college and career group that comes in consistently just to gather goods, put that stuff together, put them into the containers and ship them overseas. And this last year, we were excited because we were able to ship a few things out to our Youth for Christ International guys. We put one container was going to Uganda. We topped it up with a bunch of stuff and went to our YFCI people in Uganda, where they were able to take pregnancy packs and maternity packs and give them out to the teen moms that they are dealing with that literally have nothing. They're giving them blankets, giving them baby hats, washcloths, and a bunch of different other things. I didn't get a chance to put the picture in, but they're actually got a picture of about eight of them, eight of these pregnant girls standing there holding these maternity packs with big smiles on their faces because they don't have much, and we're able to support them from this end on that. So that's really good. We love doing that. It connects us with YFC, Youth for Christ worldwide. It's thrilling. Open Arms Ministry is run by Jeremy Fast. Open Arms is street outreach downtown, and they are seeing miracles and signs and wonders all the time. People are there praying for people. They're getting healed. We're bringing barbecues every week out. We're doing weekly Bible studies and studies that are helping kind of these guys get over some of the issues that are prevalent in their life. So just over the last couple of months, we had one of our guys who had put together a Bible study on dealing with anger. So you can imagine that this is something that's hitting home for a lot of these guys. It doesn't take much for one of them to snap. And for be able to come and say, you know what, we're going to help you through biblical principles, through teaching you how Jesus can help you overcome this stuff. You are going to see a difference in your life. And it's been amazing because they've been able to share Christ with so many of them. This last year, we've seen seven or eight of these young people off the streets give their hearts to Christ. We've been able to see two or three of them get into transitional homes, whether that's a discipleship place over in Vancouver or if it's in one of the homes here in town. And God is starting to do some incredible work in them. These two people that gave their hearts to Christ last summer, and they're boyfriend, girlfriends, and throughout all of their stuff, up and down, their kind of rocky discipleship, God has continued to lead them closer and closer to himself. He's drawn them along. And they are now actually helping lead some of the stuff with these other people. They're involved in all kinds of things. They're involved in GT with the, I've just lost the name of it. What is it called? Oh, they have a thing for they have a thing once a week anyways, where a bunch of these guys come together to have addictions and have issues or whatever, and they get sorted out with Jesus in the middle of that. So they become leaders within that community. Not only that, they got engaged just a couple of months ago, and now they're getting married, which is pretty exciting because that's not something that's normally on their radar. And they're going through all kinds of stuff, but they've got incredible stories. It's just absolutely miraculous. Last week, we had a missions team come over from a Christian school in Vancouver and joined us in our street outreach for a week. They did all kinds of things. At the end of the week, three of the kids from the Christian school that came over gave their hearts to Christ. How about that? That's not so bad. When the missions teams get saved, you're in good shape. That's exciting. We've also kind of extended some of our outreach out to Nanaimo. We have a couple of staff up there now. They're actually hiring a third staff right away. And they're doing work in the schools, doing games, doing outreach stuff. Last spring, they saw several young people that were in a group of just hockey players. They played hockey every time in the Presbyterian Church parking lot. And they saw something like 13 or 17 of those kids give their hearts to Christ. And because they're coming every week, they just now started that discipleship process with them. And it was just like a natural thing for them. And the Presbyterian Church has a youth group where they had none before. So they're pretty excited about what's taking place. The pastor of that church has now moved on to another church in Winnipeg, and he said, can you please get me in touch with Youth for Christ out there so we can do the same thing again where I'm going, because I need this kind of help. So it's thrilling. It's an exciting thing. But all of this stuff doesn't take place without prayer. And Mary Morrison, who is in charge of the blessings, she's also done fast times for years and years. Mary Morrison is our prayer warrior. She gathers intercessors. She trains them. She teaches. She has sessions every year where she brings people together to learn about where kids are at and what's taking place in their life so that we can pray more effectively for our schools and for our kids. And I honestly say this, without Mary, I'm not sure if Youth for Christ is in existence. Because when I came 3.5 years ago, it was Mary and it was Rick on the bus. And we didn't even have a bus. Rick was doing his bus ministry out of the trunk of his car. So the ministry had been quite strong for a long time, but I mean, over the last several years, kind of the beginning of this century, things had just kind of taken Less and less and less and less and less and less impact. But Mary continued to pray and continued to believe that God would do something with this ministry. And now the result is that we have 9 staff. We're reaching out into 12 or 13 schools. We have a street ministry that's leading people to Christ. We're impacting other countries. We're impacting other ministries overseas. And it's an absolute thrill to be a part of that because now we're watching the fruit of her continued intercessory prayer for this organization and for the city of Victoria. We're working with so many churches, I can't actually even keep count. We have to do stats every year, and I don't know how many we were up to, 20 different churches and something like 16 denominations or fellowships of different churches. I mean, it's thrilling because God is at work. And it's all based in this aspect of prayer. When we get together, we say the same thing as I did for years with my other organization before I came out here, is that when we get together to pray, this is our best work. This is our best work. How could we possibly think that we can impact a generation of young people without talking to the God of the universe? We can't impact someone spiritually unless we're spending time in the Spirit. We're praying for these kids. We're praying over and over. We're praying for our staff. We're praying for our volunteers. We have way too many volunteers now. I shouldn't say that. We have so many, it's hard to manage. That's what I'm saying. We still need more because we're still short. But I mean, we're up to between 80 and 100 volunteers. God's moving like crazy all over the place. When I first came 3.5 years ago, we were looking at about 40 kids a week that we were impacting on these First Nations communities. We are now up to face-to-face between 450 and 500 kids. It's amazing what God is doing. When we do our stats at the end of the year, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're not even cheating. Like, we're not taking those, like, I'm not using the 3,000 kids that are coming up that we get to do these programs in front of as far as face-to-face impact. This is what God is doing. He's after it. And it's super thrilling to see this take place. This stuff in the Cowichan tribes up in Duncan is exciting because they've said to us, we want to bring our most vulnerable kids to you. Take our 8 to 12-year-olds because no one does anything for them. We need you to spend time with them while they're young so that when they get into their teens, they're not thrown aside by whatever it comes along as to influence them to take them the wrong way. They say, can you spend time with them? And we're like, how many do you have? They said, we have 400. Like, 400's a lot. We got one bus. We're coming up here one day a week. We got 400 kids. We're in deep trouble. But we'll start with what we get. But it all starts in prayer. And it's not just prayer. Sometimes people are saying, what takes place in this? I'm like, from all that I can see, it's two things. It's prayer and it's presence. You pray and you show up. You pray and you show up. God comes with you to that place. It is His presence wherever you are that makes the difference. I'd written in just as a scripture for Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm going to read through this really quickly because I need to do this quickly. But he says, the Lord says to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. So Joshua told the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know the living God is among you, and He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. So get 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as they set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and they will stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and it piled up in a heap a great distance away, while the rest of the water flowed down towards the Dead Sea, and it was completely cut off. So the people crossed over the Jordan River during flood season, which was just opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. It's this simple. Joshua heard from the Lord, and he was obedient, and they went and did something. This is as simple of a life as we could have. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing or where your stage is in life. We seek the Lord. We hear his voice. We are obedient. We go and we do something. We're fortunate because we have the opportunity to be full-time missionaries here in this area. We're super fortunate. I thank God all the time that I get to live here and do what it is that he's called me to do in this place. But all we're doing is being present. It's no different from anyone else in this church or in any of the churches in all of Victoria. It's absolutely no difference in the sense that we pray, we ask God to inhabit us throughout the whole day, and we go and we get somewhere where there's people. And everywhere you go, you have to expect that the presence of God in your life will make an impact in their lives. You will make an impact. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you are, what's going on. If you are carrying the presence of God, which you do when you give your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and you are filled with him. He is in you. You are in him. Everywhere you go, he is already there. It's just like when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, which was just a symbol of the presence and the power of God, so that when they stood in the water, there was a miracle that took place. They walked out of the water within a couple of chapters. Now they're walking around Jericho with the presence of God again. They do it over the course of a week, and the walls fall down, and they see incredible success for the armies of Israel because the presence of God is with them everywhere that they go. They're carrying it. And if we are carrying the presence of God with us everywhere we go, what can we expect? What can you expect? It's thrilling to me to start to think about this stuff because that means that Jesus is in power wherever I am. My sister goes to UVic. She does. She's in theater there. She's taking kind of teaching in theater, and so she did a play last week at UVic. So she wrote it all out. It's a play. It wasn't a Christian play necessarily. It was just one about, you know, a married couple going through struggles and this and that. And they had two people act it out. So she wrote it and she directed it. And they do it for their class. And when the class is finished, after the play is over, they all sit around. They kind of clap, say, you know, you did good. You know, here's what were you thinking here? And they do, you know, they kind of tear it apart a little bit just to see what was going on in this situation. What were you thinking when you directed it this way? And they came to the end of the play. And when everybody would normally clap and then start to talk about the thing, they just sat there in silence. They were so moved by what had taken place that they didn't know what to say or what to do. She goes, it was bizarre. She says, everybody just sat there, just dead silent. One girl just started weeping. She just had tears, like, just falling off her face. She's like, I don't even know why I'm crying. The professor said, I'm just going to sit here. He said, we're just going to embrace the silence for a moment. Because they're saying, we don't know what's happening, but something is happening here. My sister is the one Christian in there. She also, one of the girls that was doing the acting as a Christian. And she said it was the most incredible, powerful moment because she's acting on behalf of the kingdom of God in her place. And wherever she goes, the kingdom of God comes with her. And sometimes people don't know how to deal with that, but it's God making the difference in their lives, whether they recognize it or not. And in a couple of weeks, the girl that did the acting is going to do her play, and it's all about Jesus. What a tremendous opportunity. We can expect that God is going to do something through her. We can expect that God is going to speak to people's hearts and that there's going to be reactions, whether it's antagonistic or whether it's one where people are just in awe and they don't understand what just happened to them. And now they get to have coffees and have a conversation afterwards because they're going to go together. They're going to go out together a little bit later. And she's going to be able to share her faith with them and say, you know what? This is what it was. It was Jesus. You don't get this, but it was Jesus. He was getting to your heart. He was meeting you where you are. And all she had to do was be who she was in the anointing that she has, in the place where she is, and God made a difference in that place. Have you ever been to a place where people say, man, there's something different about you, but I just can't put my finger on it? Has that happened to anybody here ever? Come on, that happens. I had a couple of guys say that to me at different times. It happened to me 2 weeks ago. I'm not planning on doing anything. I take my car into the garage to get it fixed, and then I've got a couple hours, so I kind of skip up to Tim Hortons, and I'm looking for a place to plug my computer in so I can do some work, and they shut off the breaker to all of the all the plugins, so I can't get I'm going from table to table. I'm crawling underneath trying to plug the stupid thing in, looking like an idiot, and none of them are working. And so I kind of turn around, and this guy looks at me, and he goes, what? He says, are you a student, or are you working? I said, yeah. I said, well, I'm just trying to get some work done. I said, I work for Youth for Christ. He's like, oh, I figured. I was like, what? You know? And then he goes on this big rant about politics and money and the church and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, well, I just kind of nodded. I was like, yeah, you know, I really, in my mind, I have no idea what you're talking about. But he just went off. He's probably about 70 years old or so. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to go back over here and sit down and do my work. He says, do you mind if I come and sit with you? I said, yeah, sure. Because honestly, the last thing I want to do is administrative work, just so you know. I close my book. I'm like, whoo, thank you, Jesus. This guy comes in. He sits down, and he has at me. And he went after me about my faith and how it was an absolute disaster and how everything that has to do with religion is bad and how I've wrecked my family and I've wrecked my children and all these different terrible things that have taken place in my life are a result of me putting a faith in some fairy tale. And for an hour and a half, he had at me while I tried to tell him my story about what Jesus did in our lives. And then eventually I got to a place, he said, would you have done anything to see your daughter get healed when she was sick? I said, yeah, I'd do anything. He said, would you have given up your faith? I said, no. He said, then you wouldn't have done anything. I said, of course not, because it's my faith that, it's my faith in Jesus that held me and gave me hope to see her get healed. I said, how about this? If your daughter is sick, would you give up science and reason and embrace faith? Oh, he's like, oh, that's a good one. We had a great conversation. I'm going to see him again because I got to take my van in again. I know he hangs out at the Tim Hortons. But the thing is that he's looking and he's seeing something different because everywhere that I go, I carry the presence of God, and it's the same for everyone who knows Jesus. You carry his presence wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're at work or if you're at school or if you're on the road or you're in doing missions or you're on vacation. It doesn't matter where you are, if you're just going out for dinner. Every place you go, you carry the presence of God with you, and you have to expect that when you embrace him, that he will make a difference in the community around you. So my encouragement today for you is that you would seek the Lord just simply every morning. Listen for his voice and walk in obedience. You'll see him work in your life and in the lives of everyone that you come in contact with that day, because wherever you go, his presence goes. And our world will be dramatically affected because we will see his kingdom come and his will be done here on earth. Let's pray really quickly for a moment, and then we'll move on to the rest of the service. Jesus, I just ask that things would be different for us moving forward, that we would recognize and understand that your presence is always with us. God, we know it in our heads, but may we experience this. I pray for miraculous events to take place in people's lives this week where they are blown away by the fact that you are coming in and doing things that they weren't even expecting. I pray, Jesus, that you would get a hold of our culture's hearts, that they would not be antagonistic towards you, but they would be drawn towards you. Father, they would hear your voice and they would hear your call to them to come and meet them. Meet you, Lord Jesus. Use us. Use us, Lord God. Use us in powerful ways, I pray this week, that you would gain all the attention, that you would gain all the glory. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you love to answer prayers like this. In your name, amen. Just really quickly, before we take off here, I got a booth at the back. We got a bunch of stuff out there, newsletters. We'd love for you to be part of our prayer partners. I send out an email every month. We'd love you to pray for us because we're expecting that God will do more and more things through the organization. And if you want to volunteer with us, you can talk to Jeremy. Jeremy's at the back. He's got a Superman t-shirt on. You'll see him back there. You can chat with him. He'll tell you about the different ministries. If you want to get involved as a prayer partner, if you want to involve yourself, if you're like, you know what, I'm busy, I can't do a lot of stuff, but I can give some money, I can do a monthly partnership. We are certainly looking for more monthly partnerships. When you go from 3 to 9, how many know your expenses increase? So now we're doing a few other things. We've got a spring tea fundraiser that's back there as well, and we'd love you to come and be a part of that. And just grab one of the invites. We need an RSVP on that. But we would love to be involved with you and with the church and be able to support this church in whatever way that we can. And we'd love to just partner together to see the kingdom of God come here. So talk to Jeremy after the service for a few minutes, and heaps of blessings on you. And thanks for the grace that you give me this morning. Appreciate it.